Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And you know what my desire is? It's for myself, but it's also for you. I want to hear God's voice so clear, and I want to be obedient. After all, isn't that the greatest purpose of life? To fulfill your destiny, hear God's voice, and do what he wants you to do. But so many people ponder, is it God or is it not? And I recently got a hold of a book by Bruce Van Natta. It's called Saved by Angels. I mean, it is the most amazing testimony, but there is a supernatural quality that allows not just a superstar, because the only superstar we have is Jesus, but allows everyone that has the Messiah in them to be able to hear God's voice and to move in mighty exploits. And there are ways that God is speaking to me and to you that many times we miss. But this book covers all the major ways and gives examples. Now, my guest, Bruce Van Natta, I'm speaking to him at his home in Rudolph, Wisconsin. Bruce, on yesterday's broadcast, you talked about being sexually molested as a child. And as a five-year-old, Jesus wrapped you in his arms,
yes,
and literally showered you with liquid love, healed your little heart, and gave you gifts of the Spirit. But then you didn't tell anyone about this for 20 years. Why?
Well, you know, it's sad, but we find even today, it's so easy for us to keep these things to ourselves. And, you know, I keep thinking of this scripture, Revelation 12:11. It says, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so that is just one verse that proves how powerful testimony is. And when we keep it to ourselves, we're actually robbing other people of the blessings that Lord wants to use us to foster in other people and to use us through as just tools. But I kept those things to myself for the most part. Now, some of these things I couldn't keep, like right after I was hugged, shortly after, I had a vision, a dream one night, and it was walking hand in hand through heaven with Jesus. And nobody had ever given me the description of the precious jewels and the street made of gold and all this stuff. And so I woke up in the morning, and I was excited to tell my mom about this story. And I told my mom, Mom, listen to what I saw last night. And I'm telling her, I was walking hand in hand with Jesus. And these beautiful stones, these layered stones were in the walls, and the shiny ground, the shiny road. And I was explaining to her, well, my mom knew the definition of what, you know, somebody at some point, she had read it or heard it about, you know, what the description of heaven is going to be like. And my mom got really scared and thought maybe I was going to die and go to be with Jesus at that time. So I have to chuckle about that now, but my mom was a little worried at the time. But these things started happening. You know, we hear people being laid on of hands, and after they're laid on of hands, then these manifestations of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, start popping up. Well, when I prayed for Jesus to hug me, you know, that was a kind of a big-time laying on of hands, if you will. And so these things started to happen, these different things. And that was, dreams and vision was just, you know, one of them. But
Bruce, it took 20 years for you to share your testimony of what God did with you.
Yeah.
And you shared it to a woman that would become your wife. What kind of impact did it have on her?
Well, when I shared the story, it was out of reluctance. I was having this conversation with this girl that I was dating, and she was asking me, why did I believe so strongly about God? And the real reason why I believed so strongly that there was a God was because of what happened when I was five, but I had never told anyone. And at this time in my life, I have to be honest and tell you that I was not living by any means a Christian life. And she called me on it. She said, well, you know, you believe in God, but you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing all these other things, and I guess it doesn't make sense to me. And we were having this conversation, we're going back and forth, and she just kept coming back and saying, Now, take in mind, this conversation lasted about 6 hours. I mean, it went on. She wore me down. And finally, I didn't want to tell, but finally I had, you know, it was, that was the main reason. I told her. And I said, you know, what had happened when I was five and how the Lord had hugged me. And she began to cry. And we prayed together and talked more. And that was what the Lord used to actually bring her into a saving faith and realize, yeah, there is a God, that he is real.
But I have to tell you, when I found out what happened to you with that accident where the truck crashed on you, you're an auto mechanic, you were working on a truck, there is something about that. It changed your life, but does it change people's lives the way I discern it does when they hear what happened to you?
Yeah, exactly. Even, you know, from doctors and nurses and the period of time that I was in the hospital, over, you know, five different operations after the accident. Yeah, it does affect people.
I'll tell you how it affected me. It makes the invisible world so much more real. Did it have that effect on you?
Yes, it did. But because of being hugged when I was five and some of the things that had manifested in my life, one of the things is spiritual discernment, and sometimes I can see into the spirit world a little bit. And so it definitely has that effect on people. You know,
give me one example, brief, of what happens when you see into the spirit world.
All right. Well, a good example would be, so now I'm in full-time ministry, and someone comes and they want to be prayed for, and we start praying together, and the Lord will sometimes show me or allow me to see into the spirit world and see a demonic presence hovering around that person or kind of like sticking out of their head or through their eyes, or, you know, it could be a black shadow.
And when you see this, what do you do?
Well, what it does, you know, the Lord gives us these gifts. You know, it's very clear.
No, what do you do when you see this?
I start praying.
And can you see it actually leave?
Sure, yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's clear that we are given these gifts for the purpose.
Okay, I don't want to digress too much, but let's go back. You're a automobile mechanic. Tell me what was going on when you had that horrific accident.
Well, actually, I'm a heavy equipment mechanic, and I'm diesel on large things, large pieces of heavy equipment and trucks. And so I was working on a Peterbilt logging truck, and I just finished up. It was roughly a three-day job. I just finished up doing my portion of the repairs. It was a engine cylinder head gasket, and I was putting my tools away in the truck, and the guy that I was working with at this shop, I go around on site, I go from place to place all over the state here, and this particular shop that I was working in, the man I was working with was doing some other repairs on the vehicle, the truck, and I finished my portion, and he said, you know, he's got this leak somewhere that he wanted me to just diagnose, and he was going to fix the leak himself. So I ended up crawling underneath this Peterbilt truck, and it fell on top of me. It was on a jack. He had jacked it up with a 20-ton bottle jack, and it fell off the jack, and the front axle came across my midsection and crushed me down because the right front wheel was off of the truck, and it has low pro wheels on it. The front axle is pretty low anyway. And so this, you know, 10, 11, 12,000 pounds comes down and crushes me like a blunt guillotine to the cement. So it trapped me, and it's kind of like you'd see in a cartoon, like Wile E. Coyote. It just kind of chopped me in half, where my body was roughly, you know, on one side probably an inch thick or less, and on the other side, you know, across my midsection, maybe 2 inches thick. It crushed all the way through top to bottom to where it went through and even, you know, cracked two vertebrae in my spine. So it happened. I stayed conscious long enough to see the first volunteer firefighter show up who was just happens to be in the area.
Did you think that was your moment? That was your time to die?
Yeah, I did. I did, yeah. In fact, it happened, and all I could say was, God help me. That's all I could say. I said that twice, God help me. Because I looked at myself, and from my vantage point, I thought I was literally cut in half. I thought I was, from what I was looking at, I thought I was in two pieces.
I can't think of much more awful circumstance to happen to anyone. I mean, you guillotined in half. You weren't, but you were almost,
yeah.
And that's what you felt.
Yeah.
What happened next?
Well, I'm laying there, and they jack the truck up, get it back up off of me, and I it took all the strength. The big chrome front bumper, if you can picture a large semi, the large chrome front bumper was just behind my head. I was completely underneath the truck, and I reached my two hands back. I grabbed the bottom of that bumper, and now I'm on a creeper, and I just pulled myself out because I wanted to get off from underneath that truck really bad. And they weren't going to move me because they knew I must have back injuries also. So I just grabbed that front bumper, and I pulled myself out to the point of my head was just sticking out from underneath the front bumper of the truck. And at that point is when I went unconscious, and that's about the point that the doctor said I should have died.
You must have, I mean, if nothing else, you'd bleed to death.
Yeah, exactly, bleed to death internally, because it didn't. There was no external bleeding at all. It was all internal, because the piece that crushed me was rounded and flat, and so it came down and just pinched me to, you know, to an inch thick, just pinched me. And so all the bleeding, what it did was it severed my mesenteric artery that comes off of my heart towards
now,
the bottom.
Now, you're saying you were crushed to the point where your flesh was an inch thick? Is that what you're saying?
On the left-hand side of my body was thinner than the right-hand side, yes, yes.
That is crushed.
That's crushed, yes, it is. Like I said, it was all the way through to the point that it broke my two vertebrae in my spine, cracked them. You know, and so you figure the thickness of your spine, that's how thick I was in the center. That's how thick I was in the center, because it came all the way down to cracking my spine. So, you know, in the center of my body, and on the left, it was actually thinner than that, thinner than the thickness of my spine.
All right, when you lost consciousness, what is the next thought you had?
Well, the very next thing after I lose consciousness is a period of time lapsed, and I'm not sure exactly how long, but the next thing is I find myself up in the ceiling of this garage looking down, and I can see myself. I can see my head sticking out from underneath this front bumper. My eyes were closed. My head was actually turned to the driver's side. The man that I was working with was on his knees above me, running his fingers through my hair, crying. I've known this man for a long time.
We're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. But Mishpocha, his brand new book, literally just off the press, it's called Saved by Angels. It's how an average person can hear God. And by the time you go through this, it's almost like a workbook, you will hear God better than you ever have in your life. I can't think of a more important book for you to read at this moment, called Saved by Angels, for a donation of $25. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.